I'm going to facilitate the process of the election of the deputy chairperson for this particular meeting. The chairperson will only be for this meeting and not the meeting afterwards. The meeting afterwards, I'll have to elect another deputy chairperson if the chairperson is not around. May I observe any nominee for an acting chairperson? Honorable Ranto.
Thanks, committee secretary. I am Zukiswa Ranto, the whip of this committee. I stand to elect the Honorable Freddy Adams to drive the committee for today. Thanks.
Honorable Nanto Granto nominates Honorable Freddy Adams for the acting chairperson. Is there any seconder? Honorable Teddy?
Honorable Teddy seconds the nomination.
Any objection? Any other nomination? None. Okay, thank you very much. I would like to ask Honorable Freddy Adams to chair the proceedings for this meeting. Thank you.
Gentlemen, thank you, but it's only for today, please. In future, the how can I say, the conduct is always that we normally let the whip of the committee chair when the secretary or when the chairperson is absent. But it's only for today. Because I've got no desire to occupy this chair. I've occupied it for the past 14 years in the NCOP. So I was thinking of taking a break from occupying these chairs this time around. So it's only for today. But welcome. I think we need to get back to our business in the absence of the chair. And let me welcome everybody to this meeting. The department will come and brief us later this afternoon on the strategic plan and the budget vote. As you know, we are in the budget cycle, and due to the elections, everything has been shifted. Time frames, everything has been shifted. So normally budget processes would have been taken through with public inputs and all that, but because of the time, public inputs was not possible now, because the budget needs to be passed before the end of July. For departments to get money and for Treasury to issue the money as such. But colleagues, my name is Freddy Adams. We'll start with a round of introduction before we give over to the secretary that will do us on the budget vote process. And secondly, it will then be the researcher who will take us through the presentation of the sector overview and the relevance and importance of the budget. And thirdly, it will be the presentation on the analysis of the budget vote, which will be done then by the content advisor. Let's start with a round of introductions in the meeting. Thank you. My name is Freddy Adams. I'm from the Western Cape and a member of the African National Congress.
My name is Isang Mujimi, the committee secretary.
Good morning, my name is Rod Nimnese, the content advisor to the committee.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Zukiswa Ranto. From Eastern Cape, I'm representing African National Congress in this committee.
My name is Moses
My name is Moses Steele. I'm from Limpopo. I'm representing the African Second Congress.
Morning, new chair. I'm Zubile Luyenge, originating from the Eastern Cape, and I'm representing the ANC committee.
Morning, everyone. My name is Khotso Semenis Morapela from the Free State, representing Economic Freedom Fighters, EFF.
Morning, my name is Gedi Nobanda from Northwest, representing ANC.
My name is Nzane. I'm here on behalf of the acting chief, Mr. Narenze.
Morning, everyone. My name is Jens Vasquez-Njenga. I'm a committee assistant.
Thank you, honorable members and there's another gentleman there and a lady who has not introduced himself.
My name is Tolan and my name is Matreza. I'm the CLO of the Deputy Minister in Africa.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Rod. I'm with the CMG.
Thank you, honorable members and ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and honorable members, you know, when we get into the committees, some stages we have to forget our political affiliations and badges and put it one side for the sake of progress in the committees. When we go to the House, the chamber, we then take on all our political attire and gloves and all that, and we then debate as political parties. But in the committee meeting, we deliberate, we engage each other, we canvass each other, we to get our viewpoints across for the best sake of moving the committee forward and for the best sake of also putting our mandates of our political parties as such. And that's why I always of the view that a committee meeting is where we are then as a family. We are as a family, we are in one house, we differ with each other, but we differ to get and to understand common ground and to get that common platform so that we can not be stuck, or bulls should not be stuck, because this is the first port of call where bulls will be deliberated on before it goes to the House. This is the first vote of four, so that we take it forward, we take it then in a stride to get that common understanding, to let it go, and if you differ, please raise it. Don't be shy to raise your point. Don't be shy to raise and express your viewpoint, because this is the place where you need to do it. Because if you go to the House and you deliberate on something in the House and you did not deliberate on here, I think it's you will then be speaking from an uninformed position. But if you do it here and you put your viewpoints, then all of us knows that's the viewpoint of Dr. Luyeng, Honorable Luyeng. That's the viewpoint of Honorable Moses. That's the viewpoint of sorry, Honorable Khotso, eh? Khotso. Yeah, that's the viewpoint of Honorable Khotso, Marubela. So then we know we can then say no colleagues, let's get to the common understanding.
Yeah.
That is what the committees of parliament is all about. We have been joined by another member that must just introduce herself, and then we'll hand over to the committee secretary to take us through. Don't be shy. Don't be shocked. We see him in the chair. It's only for today. The chairperson is out of the country.
Thanks, Chairperson. Not shocked at all, in fact, pleasantly surprised. I'm sorry I'm late. I got stuck in a lift. I've had a bit of a tour back this morning. My name is Natasha Michael.
Tell me the new lifts at Mark's building, which we have spent millions on. Mr. Mutsumi.
Thank you very much, I think, Chair. Just to correct, in fact, the budget analysis will be done by the researcher, and the sector analysis, the sector overview, will be done by the content advisor. Yeah, just correction. I just forgot to fix that one. The meeting, as the first part of the meeting, as I outlined, is for the support of the committee to assist the committee in terms of preparation for the the consideration of the strategic plan and budget vote of the department. And the committee must engage the support as much as possible to ensure that the report of the committee.
And sorry for interruption. Chairperson, I want the secretary to apologize because the communique that he gave us was saying at 9:30 the meeting is starting, and some of the members are disgruntled and angry. Could he please soothe the members so that we start the committee on the right foot? Thank you, sir.
All right.
Okay. Thank you very much, and Honor Manto has noted. I would like to apologize for the change in time. The meeting was supposed to start at 9:30, but we changed it to 10:00 because the consideration is that because it's only there's no department that is coming to the party, and it's only the members of the committee and the staff. So there'll be no need to come very early at 10:00. That is why I changed it to 10:00. But I realized that there was another SMS that might have confused the other members for 9:30. So we apologize sincerely, and that will not happen again. Thank you. And then in terms of the strategic plan, this document that I'm going to present is the one that has been done at the members' training. So I will not go into detail for those members who might have attended the members' training that dealt with the budget vote process. So I will just highlight a few things that regarding the process that we will be undertaking. It's a presentation on portfolio committee's cross-processing of budget votes. In terms of the first part, which is the strategic plan and annual performance plan, the department, as the Honorable Chairperson has already illustrated that, they had in fact tabled strategic plans at the beginning of the year, but because of the elections, they had to withdraw them and realign their strategic plans in line with the new government that has been elected. In terms of the PSMA, the Department of Legislative Authority is responsible for tabling of the annual report in Parliament. And that is done, when that is done, then it will be announced in the parliamentary paper, which is the announcement, tabling, and committee reports document. And then once tabled, the documents will be accessible through the multimedia website and also through the committee assistant who will assist us to ensure that members receive the documents as soon as they are tabled. And then after tabling, the national speaker will then send these documents through the HEC to the committees, refer them officially to the committees for consideration. Then while that is done, the committees must ensure that it considers the annual report and budget of the department before the extended public committees. The extended public committees are the bigger forums where the reports of the committees and the minister would officially table it. It's basically an extension of the National Assembly because it's all the committees. To ensure that Parliament does it efficiently and fast. That's when we have external public committees. At the committee level, once it has been reported to the portfolio committee, then we had that particular program that we adopted last week to ensure that we consider this particular strategic plan and budget vote of the department. And then, this, like I said, that usually the we would call in other entities like ESCOM, Transnet, if there's a need, or even the public to come and comment on the budget of the department. But because of this particular time where we've only got 2 weeks to ensure that we process this particular process, there will not be enough time to invite the public to make comments. And then, in fact, the other part is that what the process should include, it must include a analysis of the parliamentary research and content support, which will be done after myself, a political overview by the relevant executive authority, which is done when the department presents its annual its strategic plan this afternoon, a briefing by the relevant accounting officers, which will be received this afternoon, a scrutiny of the tabled documents, which is the presentation, and any other input, and also the committee deliberations on the strategic plan of the department, whether it's in line with what the committee would like to foresee. Drafting an adoption of the committee report, which we'll do next week, Wednesday, which will comprise a summary of the process that has been followed, the observations that have been made, and the recommendations to the National Assembly. The potential challenges that we have highlighted is that the short period, that we've got only 2 weeks, to establish the committee, the election of the chairperson and the EPCs. The department has received actually in short notice with regards to the program of strategic plans. The members of the committee would have little time to familiarize themselves with the portfolios that they oversee, with the relevant budget, strategic plans, and the associated responsibilities. And little opportunity for public comment, as already stated. The revival of strategic plans that were tabled before the elections. I've highlighted that one before. And then also recommendations that, to address time constraints, that the committee may consider receiving a broad overview of the department's budget vote and strategic annual performance plan provided by the relevant executive authority and accounting officer. This overview may be considered along with the relevant budget vote, analysis by the parliamentary research and content support, the budgetary review and recommendation report adopted in 2013, and any other relevant information that the committee may have access to. The committee may, based on the above mentioned information, adopt a report for tabling in the National Assembly. And then orientation and a strategic plan for the portfolio committees. This one basically says that each portfolio committee will be given an opportunity to develop its own 5-year strategic plan. That will form the basis of their oversight activities, and this is recommended that an orientation program comprising, among others, through scrutiny of departmental budgets and strategic plans be developed, given the time constraints and the fact that many members will be new to the portfolios they are overseeing. Such scrutiny will be unlikely prior to the old EPCs. So it means at some point the committee will be organizing a strategic plan where the committee will prepare to work for the next 5 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Usumi. Honorable members, questions, clarity, engagement, and then Honorable Marupela.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is on the participation of the public. I'm just trying to understand because we're dealing with the budget process. Surely it will be in the best interest of the committee and the department to get inputs from other stakeholders such as the public. Yes, I accept that given the time constraints, it might be a little bit problematic to get the views of the public. But I just wanted to check what might be the legal implication if we don't take along the public in terms of the budget process.
Honorable Marapella, Honorable Aranto. The committee secretary is writing down, so then he will respond to all the questions in one go. Honorable Aranto.
Honorable Marapella, could you please switch off the
mic?
Yeah, thank you. You remember on my introduction, I said last week I'm coming from the NCOP, so some of the things I knew from the MA in. I just wanted to check, when the tabling of the strategic plans is done before Parliament, I don't understand, before Parliament, is it going to be tabled in the House, or what does it mean? I don't understand it. And also, during the tabling of the strategic plan,
does it mean this is going to be closed? It's not going to be publicized yet. Then it will be publicized when it goes to the committees. And maybe also I have a concern on the little opportunity for public comment that it has already been raised. I've got those few things. And also this in the potential challenges, it says members of committee will have little time to familiarize themselves with the portfolios they oversee. From their strategic plan and their associated responsibilities, is it going to happen only for this period? Then maybe next year it will be corrected for us to get enough time to be familiarized with that.
Honorable Michael.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, more comments than anything else, because I've been on the committee before, and I've heard what the other members have said, and I'd like to make a bit of a constructive suggestion, if I may. At the end of the last parliamentary term, we adopted a legacy report about the committee. And I think it's essential that every member of this committee gets a copy of that legacy report so that they know exactly where we stand in it, you know, where we stand on certain issues. I also think that it would help if our researchers could give an executive summary of each one of the entities for all the new members. So by executive summary, you see it's impossible for us to go through the entire annual plan of every one of the entities. There's just too many because public enterprises is that big. But if we could get the executive summary, you see, I'm lucky. I'm in a lucky position where I've been here, so I saw all the presentations, but I think I'm the only one that's been here. So I'm more than happy to assist if I can, because like we said, this committee is very important that we all work together. We're certainly not working against each other in this committee, so I'm happy to assist where I can. But, Chair, I do think that if we could get an executive summary of each one of the entities, each one of the members would feel a lot more comfortable in going into this budget, because what we must remember is that public enterprises, the entire economy of our country revolves around our public enterprises to a very large degree. So this is not a play portfolio. This is one of the most important portfolios in Parliament. And I know I can see that the members are feeling uncertain. And I think that would calm a lot of uncertainty and also give members such a better insight into where we're going with the budget.
No. Dr. Luenge, Honorable Luenge.
No, thank you, Chairperson. I think the speaker just before me has covered me to a large extent to say it is of paramount importance that we understand the issues and aspects that were prioritized by the fourth parliament and the report, therefore, in order that we start from where the fourth parliament ended. And then the legacy report is going to assist us also and further to understand the mandate of the department and understand exactly how do we then locate ourselves according to the expertise and mandates of political parties, that this is the area that you must concentrate on, that must actually complemented by what the committee is seeking to achieve. And also the role of the budget committee. The budget office is new in Parliament and in all committees. And it's one of the tools that we will best use, honorable members, in order to influence the budget processes, because in the past we were just confirming what has been presented by the department. But now the analytical expression of what is entailed in the budget through the budget office would enable us to say, is this budget commensurate to what is needed in terms of achieving the mandate of the department. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Just before we respond, calling it the short period. It's the first time that we have an election so late in South Africa. Normally, you know, I'm a member since the second parliament, so normally elections are done in May, April, April, May. Then we've got that time period to do proper analysis over the budget, but also committees then will have a time when the new parliament starts to go for a strategic planning session, 2 or 3 days, where everything will be then explained to the committees how to do, how to run it, and that. also linked on to so that is the point, Honourable Marufela, that we have to confuse and squeeze in everything as much as possible, because the public, in terms of the constitution, can't be excluded from any workings of parliament. The public must be, but also the department's budget is now open for public scrutiny as well, because the minute they table it at parliament, the speaker tables it to the committee. It's open for public consumption. It's open for public. Public can do their input. They can do their things. But also we encourage political parties as well to engage with the public, to say that here's the budget, here's the annual performance plan, the APP of the department. Engage in, get your inputs, get your comments, and all that. Because all of us, as we said here, we also represent constituencies. So we can go down to our constituencies as well and says, here's the budget, give us your input as well. And that is what we are here for, to do that, to bring our mandates then in to this and says, but look, here we've got a problem, or there's a problem, or we agree with that, or we don't agree with that. The other section is that, rightfully, as the Honourable Luyenge says, that previously, committees, budgets were just dumped by Treasury. Departments will come and says date is, but then Parliament then decided, no, let's have a budget office. So starting September till the end of November, we've got a BRRR process, because October the minister tables the medium term budget policy statements, MTBPS. So he takes that medium term budget policy statement from the recommendations, which we called BRRR budget review recommendations report, which this committee will then have to do extensively to see, does this department need more money, or is the money being spent properly, is the money being spent on certain things that it's supposed to be, or how can we assist? The department might come to us and say, but we need money more for such and such an article, SAA, SA Express, or whatever there is. Then this committee must sit seriously, get his head down and says, do we give more money? Are we going against the public outcry to say, no, let's vote out 10 billion rand more extra, where it's not necessary? Then we take that, this committee draws up then a BRRR report, tables it in the House, goes to Treasury. Treasury will then see, is it necessary or is it not necessary? So there is quite an extensive process that deals with the budget from the committee side and from Parliament side. Tisa, I hope I've covered your questions.
Yeah. No, thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Just to say that with regards to our committee, since we've been doing budget votes for the past financial year, for the past parliament, of the past parliament, Honourable Michael will attest that we have never actually opened it up for the public that much. But actually, some committees do, especially social development, education, health, but our committee, because it's a committee that deals with shareholder management, and it's not a service delivery oriented where the department itself is the one that gives the services, but it does shareholder over state-owned companies. It has, and hence, if you look at the budget of the department, it's one of the smallest budgets. It's about 250 million. It always moves around 250, 270 million. And it's not, Yeah, it's very small. It's got to do only with the payment of salaries of people who are working in the department. Yeah, and there hasn't been, for the past 3 years, there hasn't been any transfers to state-owned companies, like money to SAA, money to the budget. Hence, the committee has not seen any need to actually open it up for public comment. But in terms of the legal implication, I don't think there is any legal, because if Parliament cannot unreasonable. You cannot unreasonably leave out the public unless it is within the good reasons. Yeah. Yes. It's not like our committee meeting here. It's for the public. The public can come and attend any meeting of the public. So everything we do is open to the public. The other issue of the clarity of the tabling. The tabling in that sense, it means when the minister actually writes to the minister, to the speaker, and says that this is the strategic plan of the department. This is what we call tabling. That means it has been tabled in Parliament. Now, it just means that the speaker now needs to send it to the portfolio committee. It will refer it to the portfolio committee, and then the portfolio committee will be the one that considers it. And when we send it to the House, that now is with the reporting. It means committee is reporting on it. Yeah. Then it will be debated in the House. And then another issue that I think Honourable Michael and the Chair already responded on the issue of the enough time to familiarize the committee. I think this is the first time where a budget vote is done without the committee not being familiar with the politics of the state-owned companies. And then the executive summary, the legacy report, in the document that we have given you last week, the legacy report was included there, but we'll also send out we've done an orientation pack, which makes a summary of all the state-owned companies. We'll encourage members to look at it, but we'll also try to send it electronically, because Honorable Chairperson has said that he doesn't like this document, but I must send them electronical documents. And then the issue of the, I think I've covered most of the issues.
No, thanks, Chair. I think the explanation for no on public participation is acceptable. But I just want to take the matter forward. Myself, I've just looked into the very same legacy report that you are talking about. And some of the challenges that are confronted by the department itself. Now, surely out there, you might have members of public who are having a serious interest on the very state-owned companies and the department. Now, if it's something that we're just going to overlook it to say, no, it's not even that necessary for the public to actually participate, we may be also disadvantaging ourselves to get a better ideas of strengthening and enhancing the very same state-owned companies in terms of new ideas that we might get from number of South Africans who are maybe stood up, who are well-educated on number of issues. That's the concern that in the main I just wanted to really raise about the importance of including everybody, even though it's not a service delivery department, but it also helps that so that we don't think only us can be able to do wonders out of the state-owned companies, but we can get people that can help us out given the challenges that we might have. Thank
you. No, you are right. Sorry, Honorable Moses.
So does it mean that as the committee are only going to be relying on the legacy report without entities coming to talk to us in terms of their performances and us engaging on the work that they've been doing? Is that the implication?
Honorable members, yeah, for now. But I would suggest that we when the chairperson comes back, between the chairperson of the work and the management committee of this committee, they look for desirable dates that the committee goes to a place somewhere, not in Parliament, but to a place outside, where you're cut off from everything and that,
to look at intensively 2 days of strategic planning and draw up a plan of action, a program of action as well. And also get in the state-owned entities to come and do a proper briefing to us on what they are doing, what we as a committee expect them to do. With the staff, we go through our first session, we go through with the staff, through everything what we want. They will lead us, the staff will lead us to say, they will put down a framework for us, a skeleton framework or a framework, so we can add bone flesh into that. But they will also lead us into that to say that, look, we're going to have the departments where we, only the committee and the departments, no media, nothing, where we sit behind closed doors and we discuss. We then, the departments must take us through and the staff will help us because they have been in this committee previously. They will assist us, although I also understand what's happening in the committee because I've been serving on the economic cluster for the past 14 years. So I understand what happens in this, what's happening in the public enterprises domain and all that. Because we've also worked closely together, sharing economic development and that second parliament, I was a member of the committee. So then we sit down and we then draw up that that framework and that plan. And we keep to that strategic plan that we draw up as the committee. It's our plan. We own it. Every member around you and the staff own that plan. And the department then must give their inputs as well. Although this is not a service delivery department, but the entities are service delivery. So we also has got the right and oversight over those entities. Because we can't sit here, vote on a budget, discuss on a budget, have the oversight over the ministry, and nothing is happening on the ground. We don't take that, what is supposed to happen, we turn a blind eye to that. We can't do that. It's our duty. We will fail in our duty if we don't keep SAA to account, if we don't keep Danel to account. Although Danel is a private company, but still under the Companies Act, but still, it reports to this committee. Although SAFCO, we need them to say, ESCOM, we need them to say to these guys, sorry, ESCOM, why are you switching lights off? ESCOM, what is your nuclear program going forward? ESCOM, what is your renewable energy program going forward? You understand? So there is an onus on us as well, as the members. But I think for now, let's just get the budget process over, and then the management committee will come back to us to say, we've now secured the 2 days strategic planning so that you guys can move and go and plan, come back, and we run according to our game plan. That if there needs to be changes on the game plan, the management committee will then guide us in that regard, and they'll change the game plan, and we say, okay, now we play according to the game plan that has been changed and developed now. Because that strategic session normally takes in the minister, the deputy minister, the committee, and also the departments and the entities. But also in that strategic session, we can also, the committee, if it seems fit and deems fit, can also call in public outside, outside help or outside representatives to come and give an overview, a neutral overview of how they think. For argument's sake, I normally use Bits and Stellenbosch, some of the guys there in the economic field to say, how do they see things should go? Or are we on the right track? What is the views or what is the pointers that the committee should look out going forward in terms of the economy, in terms of service delivery, in terms of keeping the entities to account and the department to account? Because, honorable members, we don't want to read in the newspapers that the minister has now fired the board or has now fired the chairman of SAA or the CEO. The minister must come and explain to us. The minister must come and take this committee into a confidence and say, okay, guys, we are doing those things and that things. So that we can also, some of the boards, the names must come through this committee. Some of the boards, in terms of the act, the minister must appoint, but also give reasons to this committee as to why appointments are being made and that. Honourable members, there is the electronic version of the A, which we call the ATC, and the which Disang says, and the there is also the hard copies now. The speaker, for in terms of why did we do go this route as Parliament, the speaker then, when the minister tables the APPs, the budgets and all that, it goes, the speaker then refers it to the committee, and that is also in terms of the public process. Now, this has been approved by the Constitutional Court. Third Parliament, the one committee did not have a public participation process, and things just went through. And then some group took Parliament to the Constitutional Court, and the Constitutional Court says no. Public process must be, information must be there, so people can download, you can even download these papers from, or take it, get it at the libraries, or download it, or get it from there, so that public can then have the input and make the inputs into these committees and that. The reason for Parliament, Honourable Ranto, is that both houses of Parliament, the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces, must, it's a must, both houses, it's a must for them to pass these budgets and to pass the APPs. If one house passes and the other house does not pass it, you can't go through. Treasury is not going to accept it. That's also per Constitutional Court ruling. So both houses must then do this. The only exclusion is Chapter 9 institutions, that the National Assembly has got the sole discretion over Chapter 9 institutions. But all Schedule 4 functions and all other functions, both houses, National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces, must pass, have the views on it, have a bite of the chunk, so that it goes through the parliamentary process, as we say there. Mr. Mutsumi, anything you covered? Ma'am, you want to answer, sir? Answer anything? I think you'll wait for your chance. Okay. Members, are you clear on the process, Honourable Moses?
So I understand you to be saying in the afternoon the department will be coming to talk to us about the strategic plan and the budget vote.
Yes.
And I'm asking myself at which stage are we going to know how these entities have been performing from the Auditor General's point of view, so that we are able to say to the department, how then are you able to take these issues that has been raised by the Auditor General going forward? At which stage? Is it after the department would have presented to us? Because it would have been good if at least by now we have an idea, so that we are able to say to the department, how then are you going to deal with these issues that have been raised by the Auditor General in respect to the finances of the department? Right?
No, Honourable Member, you are right, but I think on the content advisor and the research will also give us a little bit of answers to that. In actual fact, from previous experience, the content advisor and the researcher, they give us actual fact bullets. they load the guns with bullets so that when the department comes, our guns are loaded and we fire the bullets. That's normally what they do. They give us the ammunition. Mr. Rukumi?
Just
on that, the Auditor General report is not out yet. The Auditor General report normally comes in August to September with a view of the BRRR process. Then the Auditor General calls the committees together and engage with them. Or we, if the Auditor General doesn't call us, we can then call the Auditor General to engage with us on the findings of what they do and all that. Mr. Mutsumi?
You've covered the chapter. I just want to say that when we do the budgetary review and recommendations report for the medium-term budget policy statement, that's when I will take the Auditor General and say that, no, they are not performing according to this annual performance plan they'll be giving us this afternoon. So we're saying that we don't think that the budget is correct, or we don't think that the money, we think that they are being over budgeted because they are underperforming or they are underspending, things like those. So we'll be doing that. We'll be doing that in October.
In actual fact, the ideal situation was to have had the budget plan or the budget by the committee 7 days before. But the department is also busy with that, and we have not received the documentation of that, so that we can also piece out, because in that there is a remark of findings also of the Auditor General and that. But the researcher and the content advisor, normally they piece out those things, like I said, and they give us the ammunition. They armed us to tackle the departments. Let me hand over now to the content advisor. No, the content advisor first, and then normally then the researcher afterwards. Researchers got issues that pertains to the budget, which will lead them on to this afternoon. So that's why we're keeping the I want to say honorable Ransom, the lady, the best for last.
Thanks, Chair. Mine, I think I'll just go through the document that is written, Department of Public Enterprises Budget Sector Analysis. I wouldn't go through the document point by point, but I'll just fly through the document, because if I were to go through it, we might get stuck here about the Department of Public Enterprises Budget Road Sector Analysis.
Members, is there? It seems to me there's not enough copies has been made. So can we then ask the gentleman to step down and wait for the copies to come? But in the meantime, we'll get the researcher that will jump into the budget for us. Is that fine with you, honourable members? Okay, thank you very much.
Hi, members. Okay, these two documents says one dated the 30th of April, the 2014 budget vote 11 analysis, the Department of Public Enterprises. And then there's another document called overview of the 2013-14 financial year. These two documents read together because the second document, overview of the 2013-14 financial year, is actually an update of part two of the first document, because the first document was done on the third quarter financial report for the department, and after I did this document last week, the fourth quarter preliminary results came out. So then I updated the document. So we're first going to look at the overview for 13-14 based on preliminary results for the 2014 financial year. Okay, so starting at the first paragraph, I'm just going to go read through some highlights. Okay, it says in the middle of the first paragraph, it says the department spending focus over 13-14 was to continue to strengthen and expand the department's oversight capacity over state-owned companies' plans and the rollout of strategic integrated projects, which is the Transnet fleet procurement plans and Eskom's old program. So those, that was the focus, to strengthen and expand those issues. In the second paragraph, we note that the budget that was allocated to the department after the adjustment was made was $294 million, so it is one of the smallest budgets that's for the national department. It's very small compared to all the other budgets. Of that, they've spent $272 million, or 92.6%, so they've underspent by $21.7 million. Then the major expenditure that they had was $57 million, which was allocated to Denel for the 8th indemnity claim to Denel Aerostructures under the 2007 indemnity agreement with the government for the A400M contract. That is, for members that's not familiar with it, that is what government is giving to Denel Aerostructures because for them to take part in this A400M Airbus contract. It's basically paying them to be part of this contract because they were actually running at a loss because of this contract. So government is giving them money to supplement them, to take part in this contract, because government sees it as a very strategic project to be part of. And there's lots of other countries involved as well. Then if we go to the third paragraph under the program administration, the administration received a budget of $131 million, and their function is a support function, with its primary focus to create an organizational environment necessary to achieve the objective outlined in the department's strategic plan. We'll go a bit further into detail when we go on. In the fourth paragraph, we're just talking about the program two, which is legal and governance. They received a budget of $22.3 million, and of that, they've spent $32 million. So they actually overspent, and if you ask me how they overspent, usually the department does three programs. If one program underspends, they shift money to another program where they can spend it. So that's what, how you get the 103% spendage. Okay. And then if you assess in the last sentence, expenditure in this program decreased by 1.3% from, if you look from last year, and this was primarily due to lower spending on goods and services and mainly for business and advisory consultancy services and venues and facilities. So this is actually a good thing because you want the department to spend less on consultants. So that's a good thing. Then on the second page, on the first paragraph, however you want to look at it, it speaks to the third program, which is portfolio management and strategic partnerships. They received a budget for last year of $140 million and spent $116 million. So they only spent 2.6% at the end of March. So just remember that these are preliminary results, but it shouldn't deviate too much from the audited numbers. Okay, so expenditure in this program was mainly driven by the transfer of $57 million to Denel, as I stated, and the decrease in spending was attributed to delays in the implementation of some major projects. You'll note that this program, Program 3, portfolio management and strategic partnerships, they're the ones that deal directly with the entities. So if they're underspending in this program, it's not a good thing. Let's just put it that way. If you look at paragraph 3, the department speaks about the number of posts in the department amounted to 222 posts by the end of March 2014, and they want to increase these number of posts. The expenditure on compensation of employees increased by 21.3% when compared to the same period in the previous financial year. The department spent $127 million, or 96% on compensation of employees by the end of March. So they're spending quite well because the whole department is mostly made up of compensation of employees. Then looking at goods and services in the last paragraph, expenditure on goods and services decreased by 7.3% when compared to the previous year, and the department spends $83.7 million, or 82.7% of goods and services. The decrease in spending is related to what I told spoke about earlier, program three with the delaying implementation, with the delaying implementation of projects that have a direct impact on goods and services. So the it specifies which project specifically, the National Corridor Performance Measurement project, the telecoms benchmarking study, harmonizing procurement policies and planning frameworks in ESCOM and Transnet, the review of the REFAL program, and the NAL Strategic Equity Partnership program. So these, this paragraph should be noted by the committee because it gives an indication that departments cannot meet delivery targets and should question these delays in the project. But this is on last year, so just keep it in mind because it, has, it might have an impact going forward. Okay. Then on the third page, in the last two paragraphs, I just note some concerns. Specifically, that the department still, even though they spent the budget, most of the budget, they still had, the minister still had intervened with regards to the Madupi delays, as well as South African Airways in its turnaround strategy. So I say this shows that early detection of operational problems is required in interventions introduced to avoid the above-mentioned interventions. Parliament advised in the Budget Review and Recommendations Report for 2013 that the department considered introducing a shareholder management role, which will empower the department to carry out its oversight responsibilities of a state-owned company more effectively. So at the moment, there's no legislation in place that governs the Department of Public Enterprises, so that's basically what they want to do. And in the last paragraph, there was some of the shareholder compacts weren't signed after 6 months into the financial year, specifically SAA and Broadband Infoco. And then I just say that departmental oversight is required to ensure that shareholder compacts and corporate plans are signed and reviewed timelessly. That's in the last one. So that was looking at last year. So if you go to the proper document, the fuller document, the one dated 30th of April, we go to page 3, start at page 3, under Budget Vote Analysis 2014. So this is now looking at the current financial year, the current vote that we're going to be debating. So we're starting off with a mandate. If you look at the second paragraph, it says what the aim of the department is. The department aims to ensure the sustainability of the state-owned companies and supports the government's strategic priorities of economic growth, expanding employment, and developing infrastructure. Okay, then it goes on to the strategic goals of the department. We go to the next page, paragraph page 4. Again, details what the medium-term goals for the department were. I'm not going to go over that. Unless, okay, let me go over it. The department's strategic goals are to ensure the alignment of state-owned companies with developmental outcomes, promote good corporate governance, build internal capacity to enhance the department's ability to execute its strategic plan, stabilize and strengthen the state-owned companies, focusing on their balance sheets and funding options, drive economic infrastructure investments to enhance the capacity of the economy with emphasis on the strategic integrated projects, and leverage of state-owned companies' procurement spending to support industrialization and transformation. Okay, let me go on to 2.3, policy priorities for 2014. So in the first sentence I say, as a shareholder representative on behalf of government, the department does not have the mandate for developing policies. It's not a policy department, as mentioned, it's a shareholder oversight function. But the department does liaise and interact with the policy agents, which is the Department of Energy for ESCOM, the Department of Transnet for Transport for Transnet, SAA and SAX, Department of Communications for Broadband Infoco, and the Department of Mineral Resources for AlexCore, and then there's also Department of Rural Development, which is SAFCOL, as well as Agriculture, Department of Agriculture, which also impacts on SAFCOL. Then I say the department needs to align the policies according to the National Development Plan, the New Growth Path, the Industrial Policy Action Plan, and various other charters, which is generally for government. Then if we go to the second paragraph under policy priorities, I speak specifically towards the National Development Plan, and there it says that the plan states specifically that averting problems regarding state-owned entities requires clear institutional arrangements, transparent shareholder compacts, clean lines of accountability, and sound financial models to ensure sustainability. So that specifically speaks to what the department needs to do according to the National Development Plan, that they need institutional arrangements, shareholder compacts, accountability, and sound financial models. Then it also goes on to speak about the importance of infrastructure, as well as how infrastructure is highlighted in the new growth path, as well as in the President's State of the Nation address. Infrastructure was also highlighted. If you go to the last paragraph, it states there the department recognizes the focus on investment in the economy and drives infrastructure plans within its portfolio of companies to support the investment-driven economic growth strategy. So that's also what it aims to do. It aims to drive infrastructure and investment in the economy through the growth strategy with the SOCs. Okay, on page 5, if you go to the third paragraph, it states that the strategic goals of the department are well aligned to meet the objectives of the National Development Plan, namely to provide decisive strategic direction to the state-owned companies by ensuring they have credible business and capital expenditure plans and to ensure the reliable generation, distribution, and transmission of electricity. Further on, it goes into to say what exactly the program 2 legal and governance does in paragraph 4 on page 5. So here it just gives you more detail of what the department programs are doing. So here it is legal and governance program, which is program 2. Ensures effective shareholder oversight of all SOC by providing legal services, which includes transaction and contract management support to the department. Ensure that the department and its portfolio of SOC comply with legal and regulatory requirements. So those are governmental and legislative requirements. Monitor the implementation of the logical framework across the SOC and review its impact on governance. And strengthen risk management mechanisms and ensure adherence to implementation of mitigation strategies. Then in the next paragraph we speak to the portfolio management and strategic partnership program, which is program 3. This program is to ensure effective shareholder oversight and monitoring of state-owned companies within the department's mandate. Support ESCOM in ensuring security of electricity supply, reduce dependence on the fiscus by monitoring cost escalations, delivery schedule and workmanship quality of the capital investment program, and developing energy refinement mechanisms. Implementation of the BPMR, which is the people-based modulator reactor care and maintenance program, and support increased access to broadband, amongst others. If you actually go into the ACP, it gives a very long list of things that this program needs to do, and they all relate directly to the SOCs themselves. So they are actually what we would say the service delivery part of the department. They are the ones that need to really do the oversight function. If you go to the last paragraph on page 5, the department plans to strengthen the oversight function of the state-owned companies by increasing its capacity over the medium term, which the department received $78 million in additional allocations in the 2013-14 financial year. So this is very important because this is the focus of the budget going forward. Because if you read the budgetary documents, they have a big focus on capacity development and increasing their capacity. So you'll see the biggest increase would be for compensation of employees. So that's what their focus will be on. Okay, if you go to page 6. Okay, here we're going to look at specifically the expenditure trends specifically for the department and what is specifically in the budget. So here they say, and this is also in the budget vote documentation, it says the spending focus over the medium term will be the implementation of the National Development Plan by strengthening and expanding the department's oversight capacity. As I stated, that's going to be the focus of the state-owned company's plans and the role of the strategic projects, including Transnet fleet procurement plans and Eskom's old program. So the two focuses here, namely, will be capacity building and monitoring of infrastructure projects. So as in paragraph 2, I just stated the department has three programs, of which program 3, portfolio management and strategic partnerships, did comprise the largest part of the budget between 2010-11 and 2013. And this is also because of indemnity payments to the NAL, which government makes on a yearly basis. Then, going further down the page, in the about third from the bottom, it states over the medium term the department received no additional funds except the adjustment for inflation. So that's going forward. And that's all of the department's budget decreases, so now we're looking at from what it was last year to this year. It goes from $294 million to $259 million in 2014-15, so it took a cut. The budget will increase by 5% from this year to 2016-17 due to the increase in compensation of employees. The decrease is mostly because of the indemnity claims to the NAL, so it's $57 million. And going forward, as the CS states previously, they don't see additional funds coming to the department for these indemnity claims any longer, so that's why there's a decrease in the budget. And remember, this is also the budget compared to the original budget compared to last year, which is the adjusted budget. And the budget last year was increased by the $57 million for the NAL. Then if we go to the last paragraph on page 6, right in the middle of the paragraph, it says the department plans to grow its establishment over the medium term from 243 personnel to 265 posts in order to support these infrastructure projects. So as stated above, where the spending focus will be on capacity building, they're stating what it is that they're going to do. They're going to increase from 243, which is currently, to 265 posts. And also, let me just explain, if you don't understand medium term, over the medium term is the three-year forward-looking budget that's done by National Treasury. So it will be, the medium term will be this year, 2014-15, to 2016-17. That's the medium term that's been discussed here. So when we look at increases, that might be for a year increase from last year to this year, or it could be over the medium term. So then you will see compensation of employees grows by 6.1% from $66.4 million to $79 million on the outer year of 2016-17 due to the additional allocations to grow the department's establishment, which ends in 2015-16 financial year, and thereafter grows by inflation and funds received for the improvement conditions of service. So that's basically where most of the increase of the budget comes. If you go to page 7, you'll see exactly in the table and the expenditure trends for departmental programs what is happening in the department's budget. So if you look at the first column, which is 2013-14, you'll see the budget was 294 after the adjustments, and it goes to 259 in 2014-15. So you'll see that year, in 2014-15, the administration program is actually the largest program with $152 million, followed by program 3, which is $83 million, and program 2 at $24 million. And then if you look on the outer columns, it gives you the percentage increases. And you'll see program 1 has a nominal change or increase of 16% and a real change of 9%. So that is there's a big increase in administration, program 1. And then if you go to program 3, portfolio management and strategic partnerships, you'll see that it has a nominal percentage decrease of 40% and it has a real decrease of 44%. And I think you should need to note that, because if portfolio management and strategic partnership program 3 is doing most of the interaction with the entities, this is something to question. Okay, then you, if you look at the paragraph under the table, I've spoken to it already, but the, at the bottom, it says that the overall department's budget decreased by 16.8% in real terms from 294 to 259. But as I said, that decrease is most is related to the denial indemnity claim of 57 million, which they received during the adjustment budget. So then we look at per program. So we look at program one, we go to page 8. On the first paragraph, it says this program will focus on improving the department's efficiency and productivity by reconfiguring its business, which will enable it to carry out its mandate, and will put in place a 3-year rolling evaluation plan to assess the impact of programs implemented by the department and state-owned companies. So that's what they will be doing for the year ahead. And then the next paragraph, over the medium term, the majority of the allocation is within compensation of employees, which will provide technical and administrative support to the department. Okay, and then if you go to the last sentence of that paragraph, it says over the medium term, expenditure on compensation of employees grows by 6.1% from, that should be 71 million, not 66 million, 71 million to 79 million. And then the number of personnel is expected to increase from 138 to 141. So that's within the program. So this program actually has the most employees in it. So this budget is mostly driven by compensation of employees. If you look at the next paragraph, it speaks to goods and services, and goods and services constitutes 49% of this program, with consultants constituting 10% of the goods and services budget. So that's also something to look at. Governance assistance constitutes 11.6% of the goods and services, which is required by the program to carry out its oversight function of state-owned companies situated throughout South Africa. So, yeah, I think for members, if you just need clarity on that, you can ask the department to explain that. Then if you go to program two, legal governance. Here I give a more detailed summary of what this program constitutes. So this program, as stated before, is to provide legal services and corporate governance systems, as well as facilitating the implementation of all legal aspects of transactions that are strategically important to the department and state-owned companies, and ensures alignment with government strategic intent. So this department looks at, like I said, all legal and policy requirements that the department needs to meet, as well as the SOCs. So the first sub-program within this program is management, and this is comprised of the Office of the Deputy Director General, which provides strategic leadership and management of the program's personnel. If you go to the next page, page 9, the next sub-program is legal, which provides internal legal services and oversight support to sector teams. I'm not going to go into too much detail. The next sub-program is governance, which develops, monitors, and advises on legislative corporate governance and shareholder management systems for the department and portfolio of state-owned companies. And if you go to paragraph 3 on page 9, the spending focus of the medium term will be on increasing the program's capacity to provide legal services and transactions and contract management support, and on facilitating the creation of a legislative framework for the department's mandate to ensure compliance with applicable legislation and enhance corporate governance procedures by state-owned companies. So again, you'll see the focus here again is again on capacity building, on providing increase in the capacity, which was the same as in Program 1. And then if you look at the last sentence, it says the program's budget is expected to increase by 6.4% to 26.9 million. In 2016-17. Okay, then if you go to the last paragraph, just above the next program, it says over the medium term, 74.5% of the program's budget is allocated to be spent on compensation of employees, with a number of personnel expected to increase from 19 to 27 posts in 2016-17. The increase in personnel is a continuation of the increase in the establishment. As you'll see, this increase in capacity building runs through most of the document and most of the budget. Okay, and then goes on about compensation of employees, increases by 9.9%, which is again in line with the expecting the increase of number of employees as well. Although spending on consultants decreased between 2010-11 and 2013-14, which is the last 3 years, as the internal capacity to perform legal services increased, due to an expected increase in transaction services, contractual agreements, and governance agreements, spending on legal costs is expected to increase over the medium term. Then I just put a note to say, although he stated that legal costs are expected to increase, the table in the budget documentation does not give the figures for legal costs, so the statement cannot be verified. I put that in there because in the table you can't see exactly what the amounts are for legal costs. So you can't compare it to what they're spending on compensation of employees to see what the ratio is. To see if they're spending more on legal costs when they already have their own services, or are they spending more on external costs. So that's just why I put that there. And then if we go on to program 3, it says, oh, I just want to make one more comment regarding the legal and governance. The increase in transaction services and contractual agreements and governance agreements is actually, you would think it would be in line with what's going on with Eskom and Transnet and all those issues that they're facing at the moment, so they would need more additional legal advice. So it is in line with what is happening on the ground. So program 3, portfolio management and strategic partnerships. So the purpose of the program is to align the corporate strategies of the state-owned companies with government strategic intent, as well as monitoring and benchmarking the financial and operational performance and capital investment plans. So if you go to the next page, page 10, it gives you again the breakdown of all the sub-programs within this program. I'm just going to run through it very quickly because there's a lot going on here. The first sub-program is Energy and Broadband Enterprises, which manages the portfolio of the Energy and Broadband, which is Eskom, the Pebble Bed Modular Reactor, and Broadband Infraco. The Pebble Bed Modular Reactor is actually under care and maintenance and it's been shut down, so we don't really speak about that anymore. Next sub-program is Manufacturing Enterprises, which has oversight over the Nile, Elexco, and South African Forestry Company, SAFCOL. And then next sub-program is Transport Enterprises, which has shared oversight over Transnet, South African Airways, and South African Express. The next sub-program is Economic Impact and Policy Alignment. This program and the next program are actually new sub-programs. They're about 2 or 3 years old. So economic impact and policy alignment aligns state-owned companies with overarching government economic, social, and environmental policies. So there's a lot going on in here. You can read everything that they do, which they are assigned to do. And on page 11, we go to the next sub-program, Strategic Partnerships, ensures that state-owned companies maintain commercial sustainability and attain desired strategic outcomes and objectives. Again, there's quite a lot that they're expected to do here. We go to the next program. It says, over the medium term, the focus will be enhancing capacity to oversee strategic infrastructure. Again, focuses on capacity and infrastructure. Then if you go to the third last paragraph, it just gives you some of the highlights of the law over 2010-11, 2013-14 budgets. Over the period 2010-11 and 2013-14, Energy and Broadband Enterprises and Manufacturing Enterprises constituted 91.9% of the program's budget, and this was due to the following transfers. So most of the transfers were to Denal. in 2010-11, 2011-12, 2012-13, and 2013-14, again, has stated for denial for indemnity claims in 700 million in 2012-13 to recapitalize the company. Then in 2010-11, 36 million was given to Alex Corp for the Distal Community Settlement. Again, in 2010-11, 20 million and 40 million in 2011-12 for the Fairfield Bed Modular Reactor, and 138.6 million to Broadband Infoco. So you'll see all the major transfers to any of these state-owned companies will go through this program. The next program is over the medium term. The program's budget decreases by 10.6% from 140 million. To 100 million, and the decrease is due to the department not making transfers to state-owned companies in the foreseeable future. So that is the reason that they give in the budget documentation. But as you can see, under issues for consideration by Parliament, I'll bring up an issue that regarding ESCOM, regarding that statement. Then, if you look at the last paragraph on page 11, compensation for employees increases by 11.9% from 50 million to 70 million. This is again in line with growing the establishment. And then in the last sentence, the department makes use of consultants for specialized services in transport, manufacturing, and broadband sectors, which is still a necessity despite the increase in the staff complement. Okay, the committee can again request information regarding that. Okay, then key issues for consideration by Parliament. I'm just going to read this. The capacity to strengthen the department's oversight role is highlighted in the 2014-15 financial year, with an emphasis on the need for specialists to effectively monitor SOCs in their different sectors. Funding for the additional post is required to increase the staff complement in order to effectively monitor the SOCs. With the operational and financial instability of some of the SOCs, the department needs to put in place measures to assist the SOCs and identify risks to government developmental goals. The department needs to put measures in place that are more proactive than reactive, as shown in the case of the striking workers at Madupi, Kusile, and Ngula. The fact that no transfers to the SOCs are budgeted for over the medium term is a step in the right direction. This is an indication that SOCs are becoming financially self-sustainable, and those that are still struggling are compelled to improve their financial performance. The department's budget decreased by 1% over the medium term, mainly due to the transfer to Denali and Alex Corp in the 2012-13 financial year. Over the medium term, the department is not projecting to make any transfers to the SOCs, which reduce its reliance on the fiscus. The department needs to ensure that the shareholder management goal is introduced and finalized to empower the department to carry out its strategic responsibilities more effectively. Performance measures were not met timelessly in the 2013-14 financial year, as only 7 of 8 shareholder compacts were signed 6 months into the 2013-14 financial year. Thus, although the department has increased its capacities for oversight, it is not reflected in the department's performance for the 2013 financial year. The department should be proactive in identifying and managing SOCs in financial and operational risks sooner and putting corrective measures in place before SOCs find themselves in crisis. So some of the issues that I bring up, the lighter, the grayish is what is questions that the committee can consider to ask the department. Is what specific plans or policy frameworks is the department putting in place to address the above, and has any international comparative studies been done and best practices implemented so that the department can put in more proactive policies and risk management. Then the department has budgeted for transfers to the state-owned companies in the 2019, and there's no more transfers over the medium term. Then I bring up the point that what plans has the department put in place in order to ensure that no further transfers are required by state-owned companies, especially amid the course that ESCOM will require 50 billion recapitalization. And then, even though, as I stated here, the same goes for SAA, which is also requesting recapitalization in order for the long-term strategy to work. Then the next is regarding spending on consultants within program 3, expected to increase. And then I just asked which companies are given these contracts and what processes are followed in determining how consultants are selected. Then the next question is regarding the increase in staff. I asked if it was given appropriate approvals with regarding to the Public Service and Administration National Treasury, because they have to get approval for that from them regarding the number of people as well as the budget from National Treasury. Then the department states that it will focus on improving the department efficiency and productivity by reconfiguring its business. And I just request, what does the reconfigure entail, especially in light of the fact that the department introduced a new budget structure in 2011-12? What will the current reconfiguration entail, and what effects will this have on the 2014-15 budget? So, what? The reconfiguration they need more detail on, because if they already restructured their budget in 2011-12, usually when you restructure your budget, you also restructure within to align with your new budget. So that is taken as a reconfiguration already, but now they're saying again they're going to reconfigure. So now you just need to, as details, what is this going to entail and how will it affect the budget if it entails moving things around. Then the last issue is regarding the department states that it wants to increase staff numbers to increase capacity for oversight functions. However, ESCOM still requires financial support while Transnet has been delayed in finalizing the new multi-product pipeline. What is the department doing to resolve these issues regarding these entities? So even though they increase in their capacity, there are still issues that are coming to the fore. So you should just ask the department what plans specifically are they putting in place to address these issues. Thank you. That's my presentation. Any questions?
Thank you very much, ma'am. Honourable members, as I've said to you, that the research is giving you a lot of ammunition, loading your guns for the departments when the department comes. So you must study this document now in the time being, because closer to the end, it gives you also the questions to ask the department, because she has analyzed the budget so far. So my point is, or what I want to say to you, that most of the document stuff is questions that we need to ask the department itself. There is certain questions of clarity which you can ask her and relate to her, but in my view, most of the document stuff is questions that need to be directed to the department. In other words, although they have decreased consultants, but this department over the years has spent a lot of money on consultants. A lot of money. And why are they staff? Why are there 222 vacant posts? So I would suggest, but I'm gonna open it up, Honourable Marupele, then Honourable Lwenge, Honourable Tswele. We've been joined by another member before you, Honourable Marupele. If you can just give his name and surname, he can leave the status. You know, one member said in one meeting, he says, my status is MBA, married but available. You see, Honourable Member.
Thank you, Jefferson. My name is Naren Singh, and I don't mind using that MBA title. Thank you.
Honourable Marupele.
Yeah, on two corrections. Say name is Morabela. Yes. Yeah, I think page 7, program 1, the administration, the nominal increase of here. Let me just go through. Program 1 account for the second biggest allocation. I think it should go as the largest. Yes, that you need to correct. So.
Thank you, Honorable Morapela.
Sure.
I will get used to it as and when we continue.
No, look, it's from the start of a 5 years.
Sure.
So, in my second year, I will pronounce it so
sure.
Fast.
No, so you can
understand. Honorable Luenge.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think this ammunition that we are getting is quite relevant. Relevant to say you will be able to engage the department better. But because this is a Department of Public Enterprise, the state-owned companies, they belong to that public that we are accountable to. It has been a talk of the town by the public. That how does one justify the salaries that are received by the CEOs of these companies? It hasn't been an issue that the department has actually responded clearly about it. It was a matter of saying, no, we are going to deal with this, we are not aware, you know. We have a CEO who earns more than the president. I mean, who justifies, where is the basis of this salary by these state-owned enterprises? Because you find that the Public Service Act, you know, guides the salaries of the public service. But now you have these state-owned companies, you know, spending such a lot of money. Take, for instance, Eskom. We'll engage the department. Eskom is providing electricity of different qualities. In the rural areas, the electricity that we have there, once the weather becomes misty, there's no electricity. I'm receiving calls as I'm here because communities in rural areas, they know that it's only members of parliament. When you phone a member of parliament to say we don't have electricity now, he or she can phone Eskom now and then there will be a response, which is not fair. The quality of the electricity that our people are using, we need to engage the department further across the political spectrum. It's not a political issue. This is an issue that affects our community. When does Eskom reach to that standard of leveling the playing field?
Hello,
Thanks, sir. Please. Please. Thanks, sir. I think we really appreciate the analysis and I agree with the notion which says that a lot of the issues we'll have to raise them when we meet the department later in the day. But I'm worried about the 18.2% expected increase on consulting. I'm raising this one to the research, especially in relation to somewhere in the presentation where you are saying is a necessity. what informs the analysis? But the real question, the real concern I will still raise to the department. But what I'm raising to you is how do you arrive at a decision or analysis which says is that justifiable or is a necessity? To me, that's too much. Because it has always been a worrying fact for government to pay consultants, even on work that can always be done internally.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, colleagues. I'm sure you got my apologies for this morning. I also want to add my voice to say that this is a very well done research paper, and both the research unit advisor unit person and the content advisor need to be complimented on the work. I read all these documents in very, very great detail. But Chairperson, having said that, you know, I think for us moving forward, this is just a transition phase until the EPCs are debated and the budget is approved. I think our real work is going to start when we get back after August. where we can really interrogate the department on specific issues that are contained in this report. If one looks at these reports and the recommendations of the committee in the fourth parliament, there are a number of recommendations. I think one of the general questions we have to ask the department is, to what extent have you made sure that these recommendations have been followed up? And I don't think many of them have been followed up on adequately. But I also think, Chairperson, that what we need to be armed with as this committee is that section of the NDP which is relevant to SOCs, to state-owned companies, and the views that have been expressed in the NDP. We will probably also need, well, we will need, the PRC document, the Presidential Review Committee document, the detailed document, so that we can go through that and see what recommendations they've made. An annual report would also be helpful, but if we can just get the Auditor General's report on the department, that will also help us to see if the department is being managed well from a financial point of view and from an audit point of view, checks and balances. But my question, Chair, is that, you know, to what extent does this committee get involved in interaction with the specific state-owned companies? Is that our role, to call Eskom here and question them, or Broadband Infraco, or wherever it is? Can we do that? Or is our role, main role, to question the department and the minister vis-a-vis their oversight role over these SOCs? I think that's something that we need to clarify as we're moving forward. I mean, there's recommendations here of legislation that the department should have passed to govern, to control, and that hasn't been done. Where are we with that? At what stage is the department? So I think our main focus should be attacking, quote-unquote, the department, in terms of ensuring whether they are fulfilling their mandate and responsibility and oversight over these SOCs. Well, that's where it starts. And then afterwards we can, maybe this question that I've asked can be asked. There are lots of, there's your annual, your APP, your performance plan. We have to measure that against what they actually performed. A number of departments in my experience around here, they spend all their money. They spend 100% of their budget allocation. But when you look at the performance targets, it's 30%, 40%, 50%. So where did they spend the money? So these are questions, but I don't believe we have the luxury of time on our side, either this afternoon or even next week. So what we would be approving is just a holding exercise,
yeah,
and just to take the step and then move from there. And then also, Chairperson, it will be important for us to get the Honourable Minister in. Because reading some of her statements, you know, and the challenges with SAA and with things like that, I mean, we need her to share her thoughts with us as well at some stage, you know, in depth. So those are just some comments. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Honourable Members. I think you are so right, Honourable Singh. We have discussed it earlier. I think the best way for us to engage in this and to work with this is to have a 2 or 3 day strategic planning workshop for the committee with the departments and with the state-owned entities or companies, as it is called now. Because this committee has got a major big role to play in terms of the oversight, not just over the departments, but also over the entities, because the entities report to the departments. And remember, we have to approve the APPs, the annual performance plans of the entities here as well. We have to scrutinize the budgets of the entities here as well, the budget documents in this committee. So this committee does not just, as Honorable Michaels has said, it's a committee with a mammoth task, with a huge task, because, Honorable Members, if we don't do our oversight properly over these entities, because these entities are not charitable entities,
They are not like SASA, they are not like NYDA, they are not like NDA, National Development Agencies, and that, no. They are not charitable entities. These entities are there, or companies are there to make profit. They are not Section 21 companies. At the end of the day, they must show profit. And we will fail in our duty as a committee if we don't see that they are on the right path, they are starting to make profits. They must come and explain to us why all these consultants, they must come and explain to us why they underspend, because this department has got, as far as I can know from second parliament, has got the knack of underspending. And that's why I remember what the Auditor General said a couple of years ago, that if you underspend, why must we give you more money if you don't spend your money? So I think with our strategic plan, Honorable Whip, and the management committee, you should also factor in when it is important that we have that when we come back after the ETC. It's very important, because there we can sit and we can all plan together as a committee. As I've said from the start, when we come in as a committee, we forget our political labels and we focus as a family around this department, so that we don't just go shoot down willy-willy, but we also give them advice on how to do, because it is part of, like we said, it's not a service delivery department, but the entities, they need to deliver service. Because if SAA can't deliver a service, surely people will start using, as it is now, British Airways. They'll even go to Kozula.com. They'll even fly Mango. Because why, the service probably is better than SAA. If does not deliver the service, we won't have people buying our arms and all that. They'll go to Europe to buy arms there. They'll go outside of the country. Safco needs to deliver job employments in terms of their forestry. So you see, it is a service delivery, and it's also a job creation department as well. The entities, a job creation and all that. But let me, and oh, you want to say something, then I'll just want to the researcher to do the clarifications of the questions asked. So can you, oh, Honorable Michael, sorry.
Chair, I just wanted to add on to just something that you touched on, because I think it's very important when we do have our strategic breakaway. The one thing that the researchers and the staff will know, this particular Department of Public Enterprise, we've had the Auditor General come and speak to us and tell us that the department, in terms of target reaching, underperforms more than any other department within government. So it's a very real and viable problem that we have. And the thing is, often I will stand up and I will complain about the certain targets, and then I get painted with the brush of being opposition and being in opposition to everything that comes out, but it's not the case. The fact of the matter is, this is a department that in its last annual report was noted by the Auditor General having been completely underperforming in every possible way you look at things. So what I wanted to say is, you touched on the fact that when we come in here, we leave the political baggage outside, and that's exactly the case. When we come in here, we come in here as South Africans trying to better our country. So when we do raise these issues and we raise our concerns, and believe you me, there will be many concerns being raised, because things are not getting better. They were actually getting worse towards the end, and everyone was seriously concerned about where our public enterprises were going. I think it's important that we do so, all of us in the committee, under the understanding that we're doing this in the best interest of South Africa, not as political gameplay, and that when we raise these concerns, they must be taken seriously by opposition, by ruling party, by smaller parties, by anyone. Because there are serious issues, and it was my feeling in the last term that many things were underplayed, because people tried to say we were playing politics, and it certainly wasn't the case. The facts spoke for themselves, and you know, like you said, if someone's underperforming, and my colleague over here said something about the CEO salaries, these are very real things that when we go to our breakaway, we need to look at, because South Africans are turning to us now and saying, seriously, guys, it's up to you to fix this problem. And let us not forget, these public entities, the money that they get and their salaries. It's South Africa's money, and it's South Africa's coffers, and we must remember that. Keep that in mind all the time.
Yeah.
Honorable Maropela.
Yeah, no, thanks. Money just to raise one question, maybe as and when the researcher responds at least is able to capture the question. In the very same breath of justifying the salaries of the CEOs and all of that in the state-owned companies, I just wanted to check the role of the portfolio committee under these difficult socio-economic conditions about the increase of electricity by 7% and all of that. Do we have any weight to say the portfolio committee there, or what should happen given the current socio-economic conditions on the ground?
Yeah, honorable members, that's why it's important for us to have such a session, because you know, this committee has got the oversight over ESCOM. Previous parliament, I was chairing energy, mineral resources, mining, as well as economic development. And the chairperson of this committee then, Honorable Maluleka, we used to talk quite a lot. We used to engage quite a lot. And there was this rules of parliament that to say that two houses, two committees from the different houses has to get permission from the powers that be and all that. And it was quite a slap. But at the economic cluster, we used to share ideas. I think it's also important for us, staff, Brain Trust, and the management, that we look at calling NERSA, National Energy Regulator of South Africa, because they determine the electricity price. And they determine percentage-wise, they determine, ESCOM makes the recommendation, but they determine it, which is NERSA. We should also at one stage call NERSA to the committee, management, that you, so that we can get an understanding. It's senseless you serve in a committee, but you don't have an understanding of what is affecting, so that we can go back to our constituents. But also when we hear there's an energy increase, that we can tell our constituents the way it, how it works, you know. And also, when we hear about this, that we can then go to our constituents and say, no, go to NERSA, because with every energy increase, there must be public participation. Go to NERSA and go do the inputs there. We can also, as a committee, then say, NERSA, we want to make our inputs known to you, you know. So it's important that we tackle and get into that situation. Also with the salaries of CEOs, sometimes salaries are just being given, and they don't see any noise coming from Parliament, so they go ahead. But remember, we must also be in line with the Companies Act, because a lot of these entities are under the Companies Act as well. They were established under the Companies Act. And some of we must go back with our strategic plan. I would, the management committee and the staff, I would propose that we bring the various acts that these entities has been established. Because every entity has been established under acts. I know that most of them has been established under acts. All of them in acts of fact. Can't establish an entity without an act. All of them has been established under the act, so that we can scrutinize, so that members can also then familiarize themselves with what is happening. Why is it that we need such an entity? What is the laws of that entity? So when they come again in future, because we are now dealing just with the budget, but when they come again in future, then members knows, no, I can deal with you under your act and that. Ma'am, over to you.
Regarding the correction on page 7, I did note it. Thank you very much. And just one thing regarding the audited outcomes. Last year, the department did get an unqualified audit, although it did have an emphasis of matter. and usually before that they also usually got clean audit as well, the years before that. But like the Honourable Member stated, their performance, because the auditors are starting to look at the predetermined objectives and whether they were met or not, they didn't meet, I think 32% was not met, 32% of the objectives was stated in the audit. So the financial system seems to be in place, but the performance side is not meeting up with what's happening. And then regarding the portfolio committee and the increase in electricity, I think the Honourable Chairman did speak to that. That's regarding NERSA. NERSA approved that. But what happens is that ESCOM will come and present, if requested by the committee, to present on why they're asking for the amount that they're asking and what financial implications it will have. So they will come make a presentation on the request. Then regarding the CEO salaries, I know that there was an attempt by the department to do a standardization of remuneration for the SOCs and the executives. I'm not sure what happened to the policy. From what I've heard, but the department perhaps can speak for themselves, is that they took it to cabinet and then it was taken so that it can encompass all the other SOCs and not just the SOCs within the Department of Public Enterprises. That's what I think is happening, but you can get more clarity from the department. With regarding the consultants, the issue of the consultants, I didn't say there was necessity. I said I could understand the increase for the increase of consultants due to what is happening on the ground at the moment, especially with regards to the delays with Madupi and Kusile and Angola, where they needed more legal advice regarding the strike that was happening. So GPE had to go in with ESCOM and figure out legally what ramifications was happening and what they could put in place to assist. So I was just saying that I can understand why they needed more consultants to assist with that, and also with the contracting, especially with the large infrastructure with Transnet and with ESCOM, when you're contracting a lot between the suppliers and yourselves, you need to put contracts in place, and there's new types of contracts now where it's called performance contracting and not just outcomes contracting. So that's a new way of contracting as well. So they need to go into that as well and need assistance on that. So there was reasons why you can understand the increase, but like I said, there's no specific amount that you can put to it, as you need clarification to whether it was the amount that they put into it is justified. That's what I'm saying. There's reasons for the increase, but the numerical amount of the increase is not clearly explained. That's what I'm saying. There's reasons, but the numerical increase is not clarified. So you need to find out what is the numerical increase that they're gonna be giving, and the numerical amount, and whether that amount is justified by what is happening on the ground. That was that. And then regarding Honourable Members' comment regarding the NDP and the PRC, we do have the information, we can send that around. And with regards to this, our responsibility is mostly with DPE, but as the Members say, we do have the right to call in the entities, but as well with the Department as well, because there is sometimes misunderstanding between the Department and the entities. So they both need to be there to account for whatever is going on. As the chairman says, they all are governed by an act, except for Danel. Danel is the only one that's not governed by an act, because it comes through Arms Corps. That's a division that came off Arms Corps, so it's under the Companies Act. But they do report to them, so you can still call them and ask them to account to anything as well. Thank you.
Mr. Mutumi? Inform the committee that as a letter of opinion or letter for report, there are a lot of things that the portfolio committee requested from the department. There was a remuneration review that the professor is directing. That wanted to address the issue of the high salaries. It was stopped because they were saying that there's a presidential review committee of the president. That thing reported last year. So the committee must ask as to what is it that is happening since then, because they wanted to say that they told the committee that they stopped it because they were told that they must now do a report on all the associates of government, not only of GPE. So it's something that the committee must still progress to what's happening. And also the remuneration at the shareholder management team. The committee must also ask what is it that's done in terms of implementing the recommendations of the PRC that relates to the department, because that PRC has reported now to the president last year already.
But I would suggest, because now we are dealing just with the budget now and to get the EPC process off. So I would suggest that, I don't know, when after we've risen and when we come back, the first priority, which I've said, is that, or recommend to management, is to have that strategic breakaway session where we can cover everything. Because, colleagues, a lot has happened. A lot has happened. There is committees, there is boards that has made recommendations in terms of the NDP as well, in terms of, we should call the FFC as well in terms to this department to say that, FFC, give us your breakthrough, give us your breakthrough, the Auditor General, and all that. So if we say we go for 3 days, we give each one the slot, we interrogate them, 2 hour slot, we interrogate them so that we can get a proper and a clear understanding, because 80% of the membership of this committee is new to the committee. It's what Honorable Michael as the staff is a veteran of the committee. Lucky for me, I have been on the economic cluster for the past 14 years, so I understand what's happening. So that's why we need to go into detail. But unfortunately, for now, time is of the essence. So we'll have to get that breakaway session. Management must work on that breakaway session for us, so that we can then put members in a clearer picture. Because, you know, it is very frustrating if you are a member of a committee and you must feel your way through the committee and feel your way through the first year. So we've got a chance now to do it straight away after we come back, and then you don't have to then feel your way or walk with a stick to feel your way through. We know what we are discussing and talking. Honourable members, we are now going to the thank you, researcher. It is really well crafted, your document, and you have really given the committee ammunition and that. So thank you very much. Honourable members, we are now going to the content advisor. Do you think should we have a 5 minute comfort break quickly, or because you won't be long. You will be in time for lunch at 1. It won't be long. So let's be back at about, it is now 3:12, at 12:05. And then we'll immediately, just an apology for the Minister and the Deputy Minister. They are both attending Cabinet committees. And as you know, the standings of Parliament is that Cabinet has got the prerogative over everything that happens. So they are both attending Cabinet committees, Minister and Deputy Minister. No, there won't be. They are in Pretoria. The department will be over the DG. The Director General will be. But the Minister will definitely by next week, I think, they will be around. They are asking the President special permission to be there. Today, the permission was not granted. Yeah, okay, I'll do it. Yeah, I'll do it.